Welcome to this special live edition of From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's show is a live broadcast, and Bishop Campbell will be taking your questions by phone at 614-459-4820. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Welcome, my friends, and thank you for joining me for this program. I want to begin by talking about a couple of feast days that we celebrated in the past week or so. On September the 29th, we celebrated the feast of St. Michael the Archangel and his friends, the other archangels. And yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And these two feast days taken together is a wonderful opportunity to talk about the reality of angels and their role within our faith and within the history of our salvation. And in order to do this, to begin, I want to allow you to hear the voices of some school children who were asked to talk a little about the angels, who they are, what they do. And to begin, I'm going to let you listen to a group of fifth graders from St. Anthony's School. Oh, St. Matthias, I'm sorry. Yeah, St. Matthias School, Mrs. Wrigley's fifth grade. So let us begin with listening to them.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Jeremiah. Angels are workers and spirits of God. They help God send a message to us, telling us our future and what is going to happen.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Talita. Angels are people that love. Angels help God. Angels guide us and help us to do the right thing.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Kennedy. Angels are powerful in heaven. Angels guide you and watch over.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Matthew. I believe angels are spirits in heaven. They can be anyone. They protect us and guide us.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Elliot. I believe angels are the light of heaven. They bring you to your eternal home.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Noelia. Angels help the people in heaven and they fly. Angels assist us when we have difficult choices to make.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Donovan, and I think angels are spirits that guide us to freedom and love.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Hawanatu. Angels are spirits created by God to serve him. What angels do is be God's messenger, being God's holy words, and watch history unfold.
You may have noticed that these school children obviously have done a little research on the angels, but they tend to speak about angels in regard to what they do and helping us to worship God, guiding and directing us, offering protection for us, helping us to make the right decisions. And, of course, all of this is true. But there's a deeper reality to the existence of the angels and their role within our life as Christians. I remember when I was a young lad, there was always that occasion of a very severe thunderstorm that we experienced in the summer. And my father always told us that the rumbling of the thunder were the old Dutch colonists bowling in the mountains. Now, you remember, I grew up in upstate New York, and New York originally was a Dutch colony. And I thought, well, this is quite interesting. But my grandmother put me straight when she told me that the thunder and the lightning was St. Michael the Archangel casting the fallen angels out of heaven. Now that caught my attention, because I remember that during a severe thunderstorm, we always would light our communion candles that we received at our first Holy Communion. And it got me very interested in the angels as sort of combatants in spiritual struggles and in warfare, representing the triumph of God's goodness. And it might be good to consider not only what angels do, but what their existence means. We sometimes forget that creation encompassed both a spiritual world and a material world. That the first act of creation was the creation of the angels, the pure spirits, who, like us, had free will, but unlike us, had to make the decision for or against God at the moment of their creation. They are outside time, they are outside material restraints, but they are still creatures. But they represent a spiritual creation and should remind us that our world is not simply this vast material mechanical device running its course without regard to human desires, to human efforts, to human decisions. We do not live in a mechanical universe. We live in a universe that is alive with spiritual realities that are part of our own lives from day to day. And this spiritual reality is something we need to keep very much in mind. Because the human person, an integral union of body and soul, is a connection, and perhaps the connection, between the spiritual creation and the material creation. And the human person is given the responsibility of keeping the two realities together, joined in an extraordinary example of God's love, of God's creative power within our world. And it also is a reminder that as human persons, connecting the spiritual and the material realities into what we hope is a fruitful union, that we are embarked, as the angels were at the very beginning of creation, in a spiritual struggle to become really participants in that desire that the good triumph, that virtue be lived, that darkness be expelled. And it is part of this struggle that the angels are most a part of our own lives. We have to remember that the highest function of an angel is the worship and adoration of God, praising his goodness and his power, and also his deep love and merciful gaze upon us all. And understanding the first role of angels is to understand that in our lives, the highest form of human activity is worship. We become most human in our acknowledgement of God, our Creator, our dependence upon his gracious love, and upon our willingness to give him that honor, that glory, that is very deeply reflected in our own existence. You may remember that marvelous hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." Now, I hope you are in a parish which sings that verse and sings it to the fourth verse, which begins, "Angels, help us to adore him." So that the meaning of an angel is not only to make present to us that reality of the spiritual realm now become part of our physical and material being, but also to encourage and allow us to join them in that eternal praise of the power and glory of God. Angels also are companions to us. They are as deeply concerned with our spiritual well-being as we should be. And therefore, they give us not only an example of that living within the light of God and doing His will, but are companions with us on our path to that heavenly kingdom, living in the truth of God, pursuing the virtues by which we can be touched by God's own holiness. But as human persons, we will always remain a material reality as well as a spiritual one. That is why one of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith is in the resurrection of the body. After death, we don't become simply spiritual realities. That's not our destiny. We are not human persons outside of our bodily reality. We don't become angels. We are awaiting that moment of the last day when all of our bodies shall be reunited with our souls, and we will then understand and experience the reality of the perfection of the human person to which God intended at creation and was restored through the work of Jesus Christ, who is not only the perfect icon of God the Father, but also the perfect icon of the human person. And along with this work of our salvation, of longing for the kingdom, of proceeding on that pathway, we have powerful examples, protectors, companions within the angels. And sometimes one of our first tasks is to understand their presence, to be able to listen to their assistance, and to thank God for the reality they represent and how, in fact, we can become part of that marvelous restoration of creation and that marvelous restoration of the total love of God. So, with that in mind, we thank God for the holy angels. We always have to be careful that so often our representations of the angels is something we adopt. We're humans. We like to see things as well as experience them. Angels don't have wings. They have no need of them. They have no need of time, although they can become part of our time. And we have to keep in mind that in our path to the kingdom, there are some angels that failed. And their desire, their pride, is to turn us from a pathway. But again, you know, we have to remember that they are spiritual beings, but they are still created spiritual beings. Only God is uncreated and worthy of our worship. We should give thanks for the presence of angels. So, having said that, I'm here with David Martin, our host, and I think we're ready to take whatever questions may come our way.
Thank you, Bishop. Yes, Jenny from St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury has called with her question.
Okay, hello, Jenny.
Hi. So wonderful to be on the line with you. Fascinating topic. I love it.
Okay.
My question is really from my kids, and I think you did cover this a little bit, but, you know, my kids are just like, we pray the guardian angel prayer, and that idea, especially to them is, and to me, I guess, too, is where does maybe even in scripture that we know that we have a guardian angel, that angels are with us? Is there any other, like you said, you know, we want to see and touch and smell, and, you know, even for little ones, it's hard to know, are angels really real? So
right.
That's kind of their question. Are they real, and maybe even scripture to look at to help them?
Oh, yes.
Understand a little bit.
Jesus, our Lord, himself says that each of these little ones is guarded by one of God's angels. And that's that passage is the one from which we take the idea of the guardian angels.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thinking back on my own childhood, especially with my brothers, I realized just how hard the guardian angels worked.
especially in your house, Bishop.
Right. And I think my parents were very glad that the angels were there. And, you know, sometimes events happen. We like to call them close calls, or sometimes coincidences, or sometimes when we wake up to a sudden reality, we just think of it as a sudden insight. But I think of that French philosopher who said, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Mm. It is merely an event in which God wishes to remain anonymous. And I think that's one of the ways the angels do help us. But, yeah. So they are there. They are companions. And we shouldn't be shy about calling on them. But we have to open up the ears and eyes of our hearts and minds to realize. Okay?
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Thank you for calling.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jenny. Since Jenny got us deeper into this whole theology of angels, Bishop, is the church's thinking generally that we each have one guardian angel, or is there a thought on that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I suspect some of us may need three. but, you know, it's a spiritual reality, and it's very difficult to apply the geometry of our physical world to their being and their activity. But what I always like to stress is that an angel is a guarantor of the fact that we do not live in a world that is without concern, in a world that is simply mechanical, that all we have is the material reality, and when that's gone, it's gone. That the world is suffused with spiritual energy, and we as human persons are here to guarantee that spiritual energy permeates into our material and physical reality here on Earth.
Do you think that's more of a post-enlightenment problem for us today than it was before?
I always chuckle about the term enlightenment because sometimes it casts a great shadow by eliminating a portion of the human reality. But we live in a world which has become increasingly sensitive to the absence of that spiritual reality. You know, I always think of a cartoon that used to appear on every Christmas day for Dennis the Menace. He's standing in the midst of all this torn wrapping paper, ribbons and whatnot. He's pulled all of his gifts out, and he's standing in the midst of it and asking his question of his parents, is this all? Now, at first you think, well, that's a cynical question for a five-year-old to ask, but it's a very profound one. Is what I'm surrounded with here all there is to this feast day or to my life? We like to think of a successful life as one that is materially rich and powerful. But there are moments in every life when, in fact, standing in the midst of material well-being, that question comes, is this all?
Wow.
And
thank you.
Yeah.
Heidi from St. Michael's is with us today with a question.
Yes, Heidi. Happy
Hello.
Feast Day from St. Michael's.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, that was leading me to my question here.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of funny because I was sitting in church on Sunday, and I was trying to, you know, I was thinking about stuff, and I was like, I wonder how saints or how angels actually become saints, because we have St. Michael, the archangel, and I didn't know if all angels were saints or if only certain ones are.
All the good ones are. Of course, just think of the appellation saint coming from sanctus, meaning the holy one, that having decided for God, they are reflections of the holiness of God himself, so that the title saint was applied to them. You even might hear some of the prophets refer to as saint, like Saint Isaiah. Hmm. That was particularly true in the Eastern churches. So, yeah, that's how that came about.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay, God bless.
You too.
Fortunately, Heidi's parish is a good one.
Yes. Well, think of the name Michael.
Yeah.
From the Hebrew, it means he who was like God.
He was like God.
And angels exist to reflect God to us, so that in the reflection shining upon us from the angels' worship, we might reflect it to the world about us.
There are three archangels, right, Bishop?
Well, three archangels that we know of.
By name.
By name. Of course, the term angel means messenger. And that's how we get evangelism. That is the announcement of the good news, the good message. Traditionally, we believe there are nine choirs of angels. Angels and archangels are the lowest two. They're the ones nearest the earth.
Oh.
Seraphim and cherubim are the highest ones because their entire existence is taken up in the worship of God. So, but that's a traditional
view of
accounting.
But the three names we have are because of biblical references.
Right, and they were given the names because of their mission. Gabriel, the announcer, Michael, he was like God, and Raphael, the healer.
The healer.
Yeah.
Well, Joe is waiting, and I'm sure he's got a good question for you, Bishop. Joe's from St. John Newman Parish.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Bishop Campbell. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. You have a question for me.
Yes, I do. I have a friend of mine who is a Muslim, and we were talking about angels. And he said in their faith tradition that they believe that angels can actually take the form of human beings. And as Catholic Christians, do we believe the same thing?
Not really. Angels are pure spirits. But, you know, in a kind of twisted, dark way, that is why some of the fallen angels try to possess human beings, to give them a physical vehicle by which to communicate to others. I think in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we already have the powerful spirit of Christ taking on a human form, and therefore have no need really of angels to take that on, to fulfill their mission. But no, I think other than acts of possession on the part of the demons, there is not one that would appear. Now, in the Old Testament, there were appearances that were taken to be angelic appearances. We don't know exactly what it was like, but Abraham recognized the visit of the three, and they were often taken to be a manifestation of God's presence among us. So there was some kind of evidence in the Old Testament that, in fact, in that revelation, Abraham and some of the patriarchs actually experience the presence of God. But you have to keep in mind that God reveals himself in ways that humans can understand it and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So as one scripture scholar once said to me, if we right here and now were brought in to the presence of God and would look upon him as he is, it would blow all our circuits.
Wow.
Yeah.
God's revelation to us is always apportioned according to our ability to receive it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the call, Joe. Bishop, we have images in popular culture of the devil as this fellow with a pitchfork and a pointy tail, but he's an angelic presence, isn't he?
Yes, of a fallen nature.
Yeah.
I've often said that if the devil actually appeared the way we picture him, who would fall for him? The devil, to be effective, is one of great charm. He is one of the more intelligent of the angels. But as the author of the letter to James pointed out, this is his agony. because he knows what is true, but does not believe it. And as the letter says, and he trembles with fear.
And he trembles with fear.
Fear. And no, they can appear very charming. He has the ability to use the right words, but with a twisted meaning. I mean, he is, after all, called the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't this the nature of the temptation of Adam and Eve?
Mm-hmm.
By telling them the lie that the only reason why God has forbidden you the knowledge of good and evil is that he's afraid you'll become like him. And, of course, in eating of that fruit, they didn't become like God. They lost their own image and became distorted.
And to your point, is being attractive, his name, Lucifer, means?
The light, the bearer of light.
So he's a very charismatic, right, or positive.
Right. It was intended to be the bearer of light.
Wow.
And now he dwells in darkness.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, Dan from St. Patrick, welcome to From the Chair with Bishop Campbell.
Yes, Bishop, you're a great leader.
Oh, thank you.
My question falls back a little bit. For over 70 years now, I've been hearing from the Agony in the Garden, the readings at Lent, that St. Peter cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Of course, Jesus put it back on. I don't think he liked the action too well. Anyway, it reminds me of Peter. But this year in the readings, it didn't say St. Peter. It said a bystander cut off the ear of a soldier. Do you know why that's been changed or what's with it?
Well, it may be a slightly different account. You know, we have four Gospels. Actually, we have only one Gospel. It comes to us in four forms. And details like that may change from gospel to gospel, but most of the differences probably have a theological reason for doing this.
Okay.
But yeah, you want to read all four of the gospels, and especially in the reading of the Passion narratives, because each one of them has a point to be made, a theological reality. And often what the evangelist would do is remember and record a detail of the event in order to demonstrate the theology that he wishes us to hear.
I see.
Uh-huh. Right.
Is the cutting of the ear off in all four Gospels?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that someone got it wrong.
I see.
Just means that the Gospels are written for our salvation, and they all have a very powerful theological reason. They're not simply biographies of Jesus, although what they tell about the life of Jesus is true. But it is told in order to change our hearts.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Dan. John from St. Matthew's Parish in Gehenna has a question for us as well.
John, hello.
Hey, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
My question for you today is, does each person have a guardian angel, or does one have to meet a certain criteria to have one?
No.
Additionally, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say no. The presence of angels are a pure gift of God. We don't go through a training period and then are given a merit badge by which we can say, okay, send the angel. They are a gift of God, and we are all protected by an angelic presence. But go ahead, you had another part of this.
Additionally, how do fallen angels become a presence in one's life?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, in the same way that the true angels, the good angels, do. They are there not only to persuade, not simply to persuade us, but persuade us to the evil. And because of the effects of original sin, we have that tendency to listen to that very charming voice leading us on. You know, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen once said that when we are tempted to sin, the devil appears to be our best friend. saying, oh, yes, you know, this isn't as bad as you think it is. I'm here with you all the way. You know, it's not going to make you feel bad. But after we sin, the devil is our worst judge and our worst enemy, laughing at us, saying how weak we are. Give up the struggle. And after we sin, the greatest friend we have is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So, you know, as an angelic presence, he still strives to influence, but to the evil, to the denial of God and God's will.
Understood. Thank you for answering my question.
Yes.
Bishop John asks a great question. We see people messing around with the cult, even children thinking that they can just play around with these games. Your thoughts on that?
A very wise spiritual director, when I was in the seminary, said a very important thing to me. He said, I have no idea whether the Ouija board or the tarot cards mean anything or have any power of authority, but I will tell you this, never be curious about evil.
Yeah.
For evil reaches up and can snatch you.
Wow. Yeah. Certainly better things to do with our time.
Oh, gosh, yes. Why don't you read a good novel?
And if you need a title, just call the bishop. He has a lot of favorites. We're going to take a break now and hear from some of our wonderful sponsors, but don't touch the dial. We'll have more on angels and other things of the church right here from the chair on AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio when we return.
The bishop is our shepherd. The sheep know his voice. Learn about the faith from Bishop Frederick F. Campbell with the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio audio archives of Bishop Campbell's reflections. The audio files are online and on demand. This treasury of Catholic teaching is a great tool for Bible study groups, PSR classes, RCIA programs, and people of all ages. Check out Bishop Campbell in the archives at stgabrielradio.com.
What are you doing the morning of Saturday, October 14th? Hi, this is John and Jeannie Swisher, and we have a great offer for you, for your family, and all our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Do you want more peace and love in your home, your family, and your marriage?
If so, then join us at the 6th Annual Sacred Heart Congress on Saturday morning, October 14th at Christ the King Parish on East Livingston Avenue in Columbus. It's a free event.
The morning will be filled with prayer, adoration, great Catholic speakers, and great fellowship. Also, confession will be available, and the morning will conclude with Mass at noon.
Remember, all are welcome. If you aren't familiar with the Sacred Heart Devotion, come join us and learn about it. It will be a great morning that will fan the flames of your faith.
Whether you are 16 or 86, come pray with us. Come listen to the inspiring speakers. It doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey.
Want more info? Go to sacredheartcolumbus.org for all the details and to register for this free event. We hope to see you there.
Bityard LLC, web development staffing and solutions in Central Ohio. Saints Luke and Dominic, pray for us. Bityard, online at bityard.co or email james@bityard.co.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
Capital Choice Office Furniture, local friendly service for small to mid-sized businesses' office furniture needs. We specialize in quality furniture without breaking your budget. Online at savewithcc.com.
Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. I'm your host, David Martin, where we take your questions about the life of faith and the life of the church. Bishop Campbell has been sharing with us appropriately during this month on the theology and wonder of angels. And we've had some wonderful questions, Bishop. There's a lot of interest in angels. We have now on the line Brendan from St. Catharines. And to remind any of our callers, if you wish to reach Bishop Campbell, as Brendan's doing now, call us at 614-459-4820. Brendan, welcome to the show. What's your question for Bishop Campbell?
Hello, Bishop.
Hello.
My question is, so we're
I guess, kind of assigned a guardian angel. Does that happen, like, outside of time, and then after a soul dies, what then does the guardian angel do, especially for a soul that goes to hell?
Well, not a lot. The moment of death is the decisive moment. And that is why the church has always been concerned with that moment, why it has so many rites and prayers that will assist at that moment, and that moment really calling upon the greatest vigilance of the church, because once it's over, it's over. Now, I think that while we are awaiting the resurrection of the body, angels, in a sense, are simply gathering ourselves into that chorus of praise and adoration of God. And we will, at that moment, understand the meaning of the power of God in the meaning of creation and God's will for it. Otherwise, if those people who die and have chosen against God, they are in eternal darkness. One of the things that is very clearly presented in Dante's description of hell is the vast darkness and ignorance that exists there. And I think that is one of the torments of hell, not to know.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels are here to lead, to give example, and to assist us. In the kingdom, they are there to join us in that great liturgy of the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
For our listeners, you referenced Dante's Inferno.
Yes.
Another good novel that we could read.
Well, it's more than a novel. It's one of the most extraordinary pieces of poetry ever written. It had all sorts of consequences for Western civilization, but it also is probably the greatest summary of Thomistic theology.
Is that right?
Done in a very literary and poetic form. It's a very powerful piece of work. Yes, and it also established Italian as a literary language.
That was the
vernacular
piece that actually did it.
Well, I ascribe most of it to Dante.
Wow.
Yes. Well, there were Italian poets before mm-hmm. him, but he was the one that showed the extraordinary range of the vernacular. Because at the time, people still believed that the highest form of literary expression was classical Latin and perhaps some Greek.
But Dante Alighieri wrote in the vernacular.
Well, yes, mostly. He also wrote an essay in defense of the use of the vernacular language.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you get all of this if you just tune into From the Chair. Thank you, Bishop. Michelle from Immaculate Conception Parish has probably a theological question for you.
Okay, Michelle, hello.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I don't know how theological this is, but I was wondering if we know if angels can actually physically touch us in any way, like push us out of harm's way or something like that?
No, they're not physical beings. But they can certainly shout.
Okay.
And it's an inward enlightenment.
Oh.
If you're in harm's way, you may have that sudden jolt of realization that so many people have told me that they're in a situation which, well, in the expression today, goes south. And they realize instinctively, and they cannot define it, but they instinctively will say, this is not good. I should not be here.
Okay.
Now, some people call it a moment of conscience and whatnot, but it could be a moment of assistance as well. But no, I don't think there's no pushing or pulling.
Okay.
But there can be a loud message.
All right. That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So the thought would be that God would use the angels perhaps to enkindle our hearts or to catch our attention.
And in very important moments, the Holy Spirit.
Sure. Wow. Now, what do you do about the counter view that's presented by the high theologian Frank Capra with the angel Clarence?
Oh, well, that's a very charming anthropomorphism.
We're talking, of course, about It's a Wonderful Life.
Right. It's charming. It teaches an interesting lesson. But as I said, humans love to picture things. Because if we can picture a reality, we feel we can handle it. That's why we portray the devil in those terms, or we portray a disaster. The worst thing is to experience something that is dangerous or evil and not be able to picture it.
Mm.
You know, some of the most chilling ghost stories
mm-hmm.
are ghost stories in which nothing appears.
That's
but
true.
The yeah. presence is experienced.
That's what Hitchcock did a lot of.
Oh, yes.
Let your own imagination.
Right, yes.
But to your point, when we minimize the devil by making this funny man in a red suit, we might be putting ourselves more at risk.
Well, perhaps. But I know. I think the devil hates being laughed at.
Mm.
If we realize we're laughing at him because of his futile attempts to undo the work of God in Jesus Christ, the tragedy is that we don't become part of that laughter of our Lord's victory over sin and death.
And that's what would give us the courage to laugh, knowing that we shouldn't fear him because the Lord's great.
As long as that doesn't give us a false hope or a false sense of being immune to this. The worst thing is to say, well, I've reached a certain point. I'm free now. No more problems, no more temptations, no more effort. I'm going to coast.
Yeah.
Oh, the devil loves that. Yeah.
Well, Pete from St. Patrick's Parish is waiting. Pete, welcome to the show.
Hello, Pete.
Hey, Your Excellency. Yeah, we're home. We're now a priory. Woohoo.
Yes.
We got your
received
Bishop Special Forces ready.
Yes.
Ready,
well,
ready
I received
to ride the ranges for you.
Well, it certainly increases the choir recitation of the office, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's great. Hey, so my question is, in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, there's a scene in the book where the man's got the cute little lizard on the shoulder, and the angel asks, "May I kill it?" And he's like, "Well, you know, he's kind of cute. He's not too bad." And it's like the angel has to ask three times, "May I kill it?" And finally, the guy says, "Yeah, you can kill it." And so in the context of angels, as you're fighting these spiritual wars, you know, I think what he's trying to get at is you can ask the angels to help do battle against that cute little lizard, whatever that lizard may be, some form of temptation, habitual, you know, sin, things like that. But if you could talk about how you can get the angels to you know, go to bat for you, kill that little slimy serpent that C.S. Lewis talks about.
Yes. You know, in a sense, only we could kill it. Because, you know, angels can encourage, they can point out certain realities. They will try all sorts of ways by which to do that. And they keep coming back, too, thank God. But they cannot force our will. We have to recognize it. We have to make choices. You know, portraying the devil as a serpent was a very interesting aspect of the story of Adam and Eve. And it's not that the Bible is saying that's how the devil is going to appear, but a serpent is very sinuous. And from that word, we get our word insinuation. And that's a marvelous word to describe both the work of the good angels and the devil himself, to insinuate, to sort of sneak in to that separation within ourselves between what we know and what we're doing. St. Paul was very aware of this when he wrote in his letter to the Romans, "O Lord, help me. I do those very things I ought not to do, and I do not do those things that I should do. Who is to deliver me from this agony?" And that's that insinuation that comes. So, but we have to make the choice. We have to train our will. So it may be a lizard. Well, lizards sometimes have sharp tongues, don't they? Or forked tongues, I should say. Yeah. And they're queued up to a point.
Well, and in the Great Divorce, it ultimately fell upon the man himself to throw the lizard off his shoulder.
Right.
So, Joel from Mount Vernon has given us a call.
Okay, hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. You have a question.
Yes, I do. I have heard / read that your guardian angel will never forgive you for any sins or wrongdoing you have committed against them. Now, when we go to reconciliation, we are absolved and forgiven for our sins. If this is true, that they never forgive us, why can't they forgive us?
I don't know if you got that straight. Now, there is a line in one of the Gospels in which Jesus says, God will forgive all sins except the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, that has been the occasion for an awful lot of controversy and comment. What is this sin against the Holy Spirit? Of course, in that regard, only God, through Jesus Christ, can forgive. We are called upon to forgive each other's sins, and the angels who reflect God are themselves a reflection of love and mercy. I've never heard of an angel being involved in that kind of judgment. But I think it may have been derived from that passage in sacred scripture where our Lord says God will forgive every sin except that against the Holy Spirit. And we still haven't determined what that sin could be. There have been guesses, but one person said that's the sin of despair. The sin against the Holy Spirit is the belief that you can never be forgiven. Mm. Well, that's one possibility. But, as a rabbi once said to me when I asked him, when the Messiah comes for you, what is he going to do? And he said, well, the first thing he's going to do is explain all the difficult passages in the Bible.
Joel, thank you for your call. That was a great question.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, David. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Okay,
thank you.
God bless, yeah.
Well, stay right with us. We're going to hear from some of our wonderful sponsors, but we'll be right back with Bishop Campbell and from the chair here on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
A home without love is a body without a heart.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you a live radio program this Friday and every first Friday at 8 a.m. called the Sacred Heart Hour.
The Sacred Heart Hour is hosted by Father Stosh Daly and the founders of the Sacred Heart Columbus, Chuck and Joanne Wilson.
The purpose of the show is to share information about the Sacred Heart devotion and encourage listeners to learn more about how they can place Jesus on the throne of authority in their homes.
Don't wait for the perfect time to enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And please know that Jesus is especially needed in your home if there's division, discontent, or sin.
So tune in this Friday at 8 a.m. to the Sacred Heart Hour. Phone lines will be open for those who would like additional information.
That's the Sacred Heart Hour this Friday, only on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Central Nails, for a relaxing break when it's time for a little pampering. Whether a manicure, a pedicure, or both, Central Nails is the place to take a break at 4689 Morse Road in Gahanna.
Help us drive home the Word of God to our St. Gabriel Catholic Radio family of listeners. Did you know that you can donate your car, truck, or van to AM 820? And your donation may qualify you for a tax deduction. It's easy and a great way to share the Word of God with listeners all over Ohio. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online for details at stgabrielradio.com.
Grandview Chiropractic Center has been providing hands-on relief from neck and back pain since 1993. Dr. Francis Willimoski cares about getting patients healthy and pain-free. Visit GrandviewChiropractic.com.
Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. I'm your host, David Martin. We welcome your questions to the bishop about the life of faith. You can reach us at 614-459-4820. Much of the conversation during our live show tonight, Bishop, has been about angels. That's been pretty gratifying. However, we're going to see what question Maria from Holy Spirit Parish has.
Okay. Hello, Maria.
Thank you, Bishop, for all you do for the diocese.
Well, thank you.
My question is, with the feast day of the guardian angels, I had this realization that as a child, I always thought of my guardian angel for protection.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, as an adult, I kind of blew it off. But my question now, as I'm trying to deepen my faith, is it okay to pray to the guardian angel to intercede as we do for the saints?
I think that that is possible. But, you know, when I think of the Feast of the Guardian Angels, I realize that our Lord's passage on the little ones, the children, being protected by an angel from God, I think that that feast day not only encourages a deep sense of God's solicitude for us, but also it's a call for us to realize how we too have to protect and guide the little ones.
Yes.
Of our profound responsibility. And I think those guardian angels are an encouragement not only to young children, but to those adults who have responsibility for their care. So, you know, it can be an adult reality as well, by understanding how, in fact, since we're physical beings, part of the care is a physical reality. It is protection. It is nourishment for the little ones.
Yeah, so. I pray for God's will and not mine.
Right.
And sometimes, and just thinking about the angels because of the feast day, I thought, well, can I ask the angels to help me to do God's will and not my will?
Oh, yes.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Oh, yes. That hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, actually says, the final verse begins, angels, help us to adore him. Yes.
Well, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to start using my angel.
Right. But, yeah.
Side note, I was starting this little diet, and I said to myself this afternoon, I'm going to go get some pizza. And I guess my good angel said, no, you shouldn't. Well, I did. And so I told him to go light on the cheese.
You fudged a little.
So
huh?
The devil won on that one.
Yeah, but
the
you
devil
know,
won on that one. So I really need to work on it.
Right. Well, of course, angels may speak through your physician as well.
Exactly. And I, you know, as an adult and I get older, I really believe somehow, some way, angels interfered, saved me from a lot of things, or
right.
God's whatever God. Because
right.
I believe somehow, some way, everybody works. God and angels might work through people. Sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you just say, "Wow, how did that happen?"
Right. And give thanks and praise to God for that companionship we have through the angels. Okay.
Thank you, Bishop.
Okay.
And I'll work on it. God
okay.
bless you.
God bless.
Thank
God
you,
bless.
Maria. TJ from St. John, the 23rd Parish in Canal Winchester, is with us now, Bishop.
Very good. Hello, TJ.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you so much, Bishop Campbell and Davis, for having me today. I have a question that my mom has kind of instilled in me since I was a kid. she gave me this image of our guardian angels, and this is how she taught me to be good when I didn't think anybody was looking. She gave me an image that our guardian angel kind of sits there with a book that they write everything that we do down that will be remembered forever. She said, even if people might not realize it now, you'll answer for it one day. So my question is, with our guardian angels, after we die, do they intercede for us on our behalf in any way?
Well, I think they certainly encourage us if we go through purgatory. They invite us and welcome us if we are immediately brought into the presence of God. But as to keeping an account, that I think comes from the constant expression about the book of life, what is written in the book of life. And in the book of Revelation, the mention of how the scrolls will be opened and all will be revealed. I don't know, you know, sometimes that's something a child might keep in mind, but we have to be careful that we don't consider our spiritual life like keeping a balance at a bank.
Yeah.
And with withdrawals or additions. So we want to be a little careful about that. And, of course, did you ask your mother not to show, your guardian angel not to show that to Santa?
Oh, yeah.
Because beyond my 9-year-old self.
Yeah, well, he's the list keeper, and he checks it twice. But I think it's important to realize that the thing that is remembered on the debit side are only those sins that we have not sought forgiveness for.
I see. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yep. Bishop, actually, you mentioned something a couple times about angels being present to us or around us as we die, as perhaps we go to purgatory, or as you say, if we're immediately welcomed to heaven. And I think of the prayer that's said at the Mass of Burial, the Catholic Mass of Burial, may the angels
lead you into paradise. That is our deepest host. And sometimes we forget that at the liturgical celebrations, especially the Holy Eucharist, we are there as part of the saints and the angels. They are all part of that liturgical celebration. It's something we have forgotten, especially when we tend to see the Mass as some kind of simple community event where friends are just getting together to pray. But this is an entrance into heavenly realities of which the saints and the angels are very much a part.
Every Mass.
Every Mass.
Every Mass we enter into that eternal reality.
Right. And it's important for us to understand that as we gather to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. And angels help us to adore him.
Yeah.
And so, yes. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for all the questions that have come.
Wonderful. A whole hour of angels.
Yes.
It just sort of flown by.
Pray for us now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. We've certainly enjoyed this hour. We remind our listeners that next month, on the 7th of November, the bishop will not be with us live, but we'll have a replay of the seminarians roundtable that the bishop holds with our seminarians. And then we'll return again live on December 5th. When Bishop Campbell shares with you again his thoughts and entertains your questions here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Special thanks this month to Ms. Wrigley's fifth grade students from St. Matthias Parish for their thoughts on angels. And we thank you, our listeners, for always being with us, and we look forward to being with you again when From the Chair returns right here on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Stay now, stay tuned for Catholic Answers Live, 2 hours of the best Catholic questions and answers.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.